man. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Hey, are there any redeemed people in here today? Yeah! That's what I was hoping for, a little shout there. I was hoping for a little shout. I know it's uncomfortable sometimes to shout, but you know, some people may think we're crazy. You guys are crazy. You guys are loud and you have so much fun. And we are crazy. We're crazy about Jesus. And we are crazy in love with our Father in heaven. And we're crazy about being the people that God created us to be. So it is great to have you guys here today on this Resurrection Sunday. I just start thinking about the resurrection and just dwelling on what took place, and you just kind of get lost in it all. You know what I mean? Did you just like sit this week and just read the Bible and the accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, and you just find yourself just kind of just marinating in the Word a little longer than normal? It's just like, wow, and you just reflect and reflect and reflect. So I have the privilege today to share with you all the greatest news that has ever touched humanity. The greatest news that has ever touched humanity. The greatest news that you will ever hear. And so I wanted to start off with a common belief. There is a common belief that many people that believe, there's a common belief, I've talked to so many people, that in order to come to Jesus, and in order to have eternal life in Him, means that you must first improve yourself. That you first must get yourself together, get yourself fixed, and to get your fix the mess that is in your life first before coming to Jesus. I can't tell you how many times I come across this kind of conversation. And, you know, the feeling is that I can't come to God right now. My life is just a wreck. My life is just a wreck. I can't come to Jesus right now. He wouldn't approve of my life right now. And they say, I'm not ready. I'm just not ready for Jesus. It's something that I will get to eventually. But right now, I'm not ready. And the beautiful thing about this great news that we're celebrating this morning is that none of us are good enough and that none of us are ready. There's nobody in this room that is good enough. And there's nothing that any one of us could ever do to make ourselves good enough and ready for His presence. But it was the death and the resurrection of Jesus and our belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus, where God says, the Bible says that the righteousness of Jesus is then given to us. And so now God doesn't see us as a sinful person and not good enough. But in His eyes, we are made right. We're made holy by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Nobody in this room will ever be good enough. But it's Jesus in you. And Jesus' blood that covers your sins that makes you good enough. And that's some good and awesome news. Yeah. And not only does He remove your sins, and not only does He make you righteous, but He gives you life eternal. He gives you a hope that is unlike any other hope, and it's a hope that lasts for eternity. That we will be resurrected one day like Christ. We'll be given new bodies. This is an amazing hope, and that we will spend eternity with Him. And not only that, but we get to experience new life in the present. Jesus promises us that He came to give life and to give it in all of its abundance and all of its fullness. And so in this life that we're living right now, we get to experience life in its fullness. We get to experience true joy and peace and hope in a world that seems those things are so far, far away. So what I'm saying to you this morning and what we're going to talk about this morning is that nobody is ever ready. You're never going to be ready for Jesus. You're never going to be good enough for Jesus. But what you're going to see this morning is that Jesus is calling you and Jesus is drawing you to Himself just the way you are. And God is calling you and drawing you to Himself exactly where you are in your life. In all of your doubts about Him, in all of your fears about giving your life fully to Him, and all of your past failures that you think just are too massive and I've accumulated so many failures that how can God ever love me? And all of your uncertainties and insecurities, Jesus is saying to you today, wherever you're at in your life, I want you right now, right there. That's where I want you. So we're going to look in John chapter 21. In the book of John chapter 21, the Gospel of John, this is the last chapter in the Gospel of John. And what we're going to see this morning as we look at the final scene in this Gospel of John, is that it's not a story that is coming to an end, but we're actually going to see a story that is coming to a beginning. All right. So what I want to do is, before we read this passage from John 21:15 through 19, I was just kind of want to set the scene here for you, paint the picture so you know what's happening. All right, Easter has happened at this point. At this point in time, Easter has happened. Jesus has died. He's been arrested. He's died. He's even risen from the dead. Okay? And now what happened, there's something significant that happened to a man named Peter while Jesus was being arrested. And Jesus is standing trial after trial after trial about whether or not they're going to convict him and charge him of anything. And Peter finds himself lingering around in the temple courts, and he gets thrown under the bus three times. And people call him out, "Hey, you, Peter." They don't call him Peter. "I know you. I know you. You've been with that Jesus, man. You're one of his followers, aren't you?" And Peter, what does Peter do? He's like, "No, man, I have no idea what you're talking about." Right, here's Jesus being brutally apprehended and mistreated by the Romans. This man that he thought and he followed for 3 years and he believed, this is the Messiah, this is the one to overthrow the Roman Empire. Here he is, he's being arrested, and you can just imagine the confusion going on in Peter. And so when he gets called out again, and, "Hey, I know you. I can tell by your accent you're a follower of Jesus, aren't you? I've seen you with him." And Peter says, "No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know that man. I don't know that man." A third time, he gets called out and thrown under the bus. "You know that Jesus. You're with him. I've seen you with him. Look, I tell you, I have no idea who that man is. I don't know him. Leave me alone." Just hours before this all happened, Peter sat at that table with Jesus and said to him, "Lord, even if nobody else follows you and if everybody else deserts you, I will stick with you. I will follow you." Can you imagine that feeling of knowing what just happened, and you have denied even knowing this man Jesus, the man who has given everything for you, this man who is just you, who you fell in love with, and you followed him for 3 years, and he changed your life. The feeling of failure that would come over you knowing that that happened. Well, that's what happened. So Jesus dies, and he's in the grave, and he comes to life. Life's greatest enemy has been defeated. That's what we're celebrating today. Death has been defeated and has been swallowed up by life. And here's Peter. You can just imagine having to live with the guilt and the shame, right? And being fearful of what his mistakes may have cost him. And so here we find ourselves just before we get to what we're about to read. Jesus appears to the disciples a couple of times, and then he disappears from them. He appears to them and he disappears from them. So the disciples have to go back to work. So Peter and some of the other disciples, they go out to fish. Like, well, we still got to make a living now. So I got to go back out to fish. And they get back in their boat and they go out for the night. And they say, "Guys, we're going to go out to fish." And they stay all night out there and they don't catch a single thing. They're out in the lake. They're about 100 yards offshore at this point. And they don't catch anything. It's early in the morning, and they hear this shout from across the lake, by the shore. And they said, "Hey, friends, have you caught anything yet?" They yell back, "No, we've caught nothing." They couldn't recognize who it was over there on the other shore, on the other side of the shore. And he says, "All right, well, throw your nets to the other side. Throw them to the right side, and you'll catch something." Can you imagine what they must have been thinking? "We've been here all night catching nothing, and you think we should just throw our nets?" So they cast their nets to the right side, and what happens? They can't haul in as many fish. There's just an overload of fish, more than they can handle. That's a sermon in and of itself that we'll get to one day. When you obey the command of your Lord, he will bless you beyond what you can possibly even handle for yourself. That is the truth. So here's they finally, Peter recognizes that it's Jesus. And he recognizes his Lord. And what does he do? He jumps out of the boat and he starts freestyling it to Jesus, right? He starts freestyling it to the shore. And the other guys in the boat, the other disciples were like, "Well, we need to bring all this boat. We need to bring the boat back. We need to bring the fish back." And so they bring it all back to shore. And they recognize it's Jesus. And Jesus says, "Hey, guys, let's have breakfast together. bring some of the fish that you caught. I've got a campfire here, and there's some fish already boiling. And he says, let's have breakfast together. And so that's where we're going to pick up. That's where we're going to pick up. Now imagine Peter here. We're going to read a conversation that Jesus has with Peter. Imagine you're Peter. And imagine feeling that you have completely let down your best friend. And the failure that you must have felt like. The failure you must have felt like. And the both of you know what took place just days prior. And here's Jesus. And here's, and we pick up in verse 15. And so when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he says. You know that I love you. Jesus says, oh, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And Peter answers, he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, well, take care of my sheep. The third time, right, this is paralleling the three times that he denied Jesus. The third time he asks him this question, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death in which Peter would glorify God. And then he says to Peter, follow me. Follow me. So Peter here is facing this unsettling question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And there's something very significant and very unique in this scene and very purposeful, I believe, that I want to talk to you about this morning. There are two different words of love being used in this passage. For one, Jesus says, do you love me? When he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus is using a Greek word, agapeo. Agapeo. Now this is a love, the definition of this love is a love that expresses itself to others and a love that changes you from within. Agapeo love. A love that expresses itself to other people and it changes you from within. And Jesus says, do you agapeo me? Do you love me in this way, Peter? Simon, son of John, do you love me in a way that expresses itself to others? Do you love me in a way where it's changing you from within? And Peter is unable to bring himself to use the same word that Jesus uses, agapeo. And he responds to Jesus and he says, but yes, Lord, you know I love you. The word he uses there is phileo. That word is where we get the word Philadelphia from, brotherly love, a friendly love. So this is what's taking place. Jesus is saying, Simon, son of John, do you love me the way that I love you? Do you love me in such an intense way that I love you, in a way that expresses itself to others, in a way that changes you from within? And Peter responds and he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you like a friend. You know I love you as a friend. And Jesus responds and he repeats this question a second time and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me with an agapeo love? Do you love me in this way? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you like a friend. You know I've got affection for you like a friend. But something happens the third and final time Jesus asks this question. And this time Jesus uses Peter's word for love. He says, Simon, son of John, are you my friend? Simon, son of John, are you my friend? Peter has heard it says that Jesus asked him a third time. This question a third time. And perhaps he's hurt because Jesus sort of lowered the bar a little bit. And he came down to where he was. But here's what I want to say this morning. And what I think is very purposeful. And I think that what the writer of Gospel of John, what John was saying is that this is for all of us. This is not just a scene from Jesus to Peter, but this is in a sense what Jesus is saying to all of us. And he says, okay, Peter, if that's where you're at, that's where we're going to start. Okay, Peter. And I can just see him saying it with a smile, not with disappointment on his face, but I can just see Jesus, okay, Peter, you know? Okay, Peter, if that's where you are, then that's where we'll start. Peter, you don't have to love me as much as I love you to be with me. You don't have to understand completely how much I love you right now. You don't have to have a full grasp of it, but I will take you right where you are. We'll start right where you're at. And then he commissions Peter for the work ahead, and he says, now, follow me. Now, follow me. I will come down where you're at to show you how much I love you. Now, follow me. This message of coming down to where we're at is a theme that runs throughout the gospel. We see it in the birth of Christ, and the whole story of the gospel is God coming down to where we are. Coming down to where we are, reaching out a hand and saying, follow me. Come with me. And this is the message that God wants you to know today. You see, you don't have to have it all together to accept this invitation that he's saying to you. This invitation to eternal life. You don't have to love him in the depth that he loves you. You don't have to understand everything that his word says and what it means before you come to him. But God is saying to you today, if that's where you're at, in all of your doubts about me, in all of your fears about giving everything over to me, in all of your failures, then that's where we're going to start. Now, follow me. The word here used when Jesus says, follow me in verse 19, the Greek word is aletheo. Aletheo. This is pretty crazy. This is great, not crazy. That word is, the main chunk of that word is the root word for road. It's for road. And so what Jesus is saying here, when he's saying, follow me, he's saying, share the same road as me. Go where I go. Share the same road. There's an African phrase which says, or people will say to somebody, will you walk with me? And it doesn't mean to kind of just mosey on around the corner or stroll around the corner with somebody. But to say that to ask someone to walk with you means to enter another person's world. To go about their journey. And so what Jesus is saying, to walk with Jesus does not mean to walk behind him and to follow him behind him in a directional sense, but beside him. And he's saying to share the same road as him. When he calls upon all of us to follow him, he's saying, I want you to share the same road as me. Be caught up in what I'm doing. Be caught up in what I'm doing. Like, get on with what I'm doing. This is because what I'm doing is amazing. And it's fulfilling, and there's nothing like it, and it will change you from within. It will express itself to others, and it will change you from within. And that's the great thing about faith. One of the scary things about faith, but it's also one of the great things about faith, is that we can embrace the things that we do not know at this point in our lives. But walking through life with the understanding that God has promised to reveal these things to us, right? It gives us a hope. And so being a follower of Jesus is not about how much you know. It's not about having all the answers, but about having a humble gratitude for how much there is left to be known. Jesus is the only way. He is the absolute truth. And he is life in all of its fullness. And the Bible says that no one can enter into the presence of God. No one can come before God except through Jesus. And the beautiful thing is that when we choose to follow him, that we do not have to have all the answers to the questions that we have. Actually, we won't have all the answers to the questions we have. But as you walk with him, as you follow him, as you share the same road as Jesus, and you live life by his side, he will reveal the answers to some of your questions. To some of your questions. But you will not always find the answers to all of your questions. Isn't that the truth? You're not going to find all the answers to all of your questions. But when you know you're following the one who holds eternity in his hands, and you know that you're following the one who holds the answers to everything, you can rest and you can learn to live with those unanswered questions. Because all that matters is that you're following the one who holds all of eternity in his hands. And you're following the one that holds the answers to everything. He himself is the answer and the solution and the antidote to everything. And so that you can rest in the fact that you don't know the answers to those questions. But you know that you're following the one who holds eternity in his hands. So to prepare yourself before following Jesus is the opposite of what he wants. To get yourself ready and to get yourself prepared is the opposite of what he wants. He wants each and every one of us just the way we are. Because your inexperience and your childlike faith is exactly the kind of person he uses to reach this world with his incredible, incredible message. You are not intended to get it all together or to fix yourself before coming to Jesus. But Jesus is calling us to himself. He's calling you to himself. And so the intentions behind Jesus' words to Peter still resound to this day. Okay, if that's where you're at, then that's where we're going to start. Now share the same road as me. Get caught up in what I'm doing. Follow me. And the Bible says he will do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or even imagine. Mike, could I ask you to come on up and the rest of the worship team to come on up? We're gonna kind of respond to this morning. We're going to respond to this morning. Because today is a celebration. Today is a celebration. I read a story not too long ago about a doctor who once told us, who was telling another story. And this doctor was telling a story about a Muslim who had become a Christian and in Africa. And he was telling this story and he was saying that this Muslim was asked by some of his friends, well, why did you become a Christian? Why did you become a Christian? And he answered, this is what he said. Well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road, right? And suddenly the road forks in two different directions. And you didn't know which way to go. And at the fork of the road, there at the fork of the road, were two men. One was dead and one was alive. Which one would you ask the way to go? Jesus is still alive.
Amen.
He is alive and he's well. He has been risen from the dead. And he calls each and every one of us to come to him right where we are in our lives and follow him. Not to wait until we think we're ready, but to start right now, right here, to get caught up in what he's doing right now, right here. God is doing something amazing right now in the hearts and the lives of people that we know. He is doing something amazing. God is bringing his purposes and plans to fruition. And he invites each and every one of us to get caught up in that. And to follow him and get caught up in what he's doing. What an awesome privilege. Not only does he save our lives and give us eternal life, but he says, where we just sit back and just sit on that, but he says, now I want you to be a part of what I'm doing because what I'm doing is so amazing. What I'm doing is so amazing. And so you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you think you're ready. But he's saying, start now. I want you right where you're at right now. And the Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and that we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and that you will be saved. That you will be saved. And it says that you'll be given a new life in Jesus Christ. This invitation to receive the gift of eternal life is offered to every person on this earth. Some accept it, and some reject it. And today it's being offered to you. Today it is being offered to you, and I want to give you the opportunity to experience life in all of its fullness. Would you guys just play some just music for us in the background? I want to give you an opportunity right now to respond to Jesus saying, that's okay. If that's where you're at, then that's where we're going to start. You don't have to love me as much as I love you right now. You don't have to understand the depth of my love for you right now. You don't have to have it all together before you come to me right now. And just imagine where you're at right now and Jesus saying to you, okay, if that's where you're at, then that's where we're going to start. Now follow me. Share the same road as me. Get caught up in what I'm doing. And so this invitation is being offered to everyone here. So if I could just every head to be bowed. We're just going to take a moment right now and give you an opportunity to respond to what Jesus is saying and asking of you. You see, the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. It changed everything. It means that he has conquered death forever. He has conquered the power of sin over your life forever. And he has given you eternal life forever. That's a God who loves you. We can't comprehend it. We cannot comprehend it in all of its fullness. There's a room full of people here who have been right in the same position that you are in right now, where the Spirit of God was drawing them to himself with his love and his kindness. And they were all, there's a room full of people right now who felt something at some point going on the inside. Maybe a tugging, maybe an unsettling. That is the Spirit of God reaching out to you. And there's not a person in this room who would say that making the choice to follow Jesus was a decision they regret, but it was the best decision that they have ever made. So I want to give this opportunity to everyone here this morning. None of us are promised tomorrow to wake up tomorrow. We could die on our way home today. But you can have assurance and hope future with your King, your Savior, the one who gave everything up for you and I. So if that is you here today and you want to receive this eternal life, you want to receive this gift of grace, the Bible calls it being born again. If you want to be saved this morning, I'm just going to ask you, with everybody's heads are bowed, everybody's eyes are closed, if that is you and you want to respond to that this morning, just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand and say, yes, I want that. I want to know that. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In just a second, we're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to pray a prayer together. It's as simple as that, a prayer. It's as simple as asking for forgiveness. It's as simple as saying, God, I receive what you have done. I accept this gift that I don't deserve. If there's anybody else and you want to slip up your hand, just real quick. There were a couple people. So we're going to, everybody with their head bowed and everybody's eyes closed, we're going to just pray this prayer together. And you just repeat after me. And I believe that when you repeat these words and they're sincere in your heart, that the Spirit of God at that moment comes and gives life to your very spirit for the very first time. And you are then a new creation in Christ Jesus. So get ready. Dear Lord Jesus, let's everybody just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me and for all of my sins. I'm asking for your forgiveness. I accept your life in me. And from this day forward, I will follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross and coming back to life for me. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Amen? It is as simple as that. In this place, new life has just come about. Let's celebrate. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to close our service today, but for those of you who lifted your hand up and prayed that prayer for the very first time, we've got a gift for you. And so I'm asking you just at the end, when everybody's leaving, if you would just find your way up here, and I've got a gift for you, just a present from the church, from us, and I would love to just talk with you just a little bit more. But I also want to say this. God set this up so that you do not have to live this life on your own. But he actually established what is called the church. That's a body of believers. A body of people who believe the same thing that you just gave your life to. The church is not a building, it's not a facility, but the church is the accumulation of all the people of God. It's the community of the people of God. And he established it so that we would come together, live life by one another, and walk through life together, arm in arm. Because he does not say that this life is going to be easy. He does not say that it's going to be a piece of cake, but he says, there is going to be trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And when you surround yourself with people who love you, and this is a church who loves people, and who wants to get up alongside of you in this journey as you follow the same road, you share the same road as Jesus, because it's not easy, and we need each other. We absolutely need each other. I would not be a pastor if it wasn't for this church and the people getting up alongside of me and loving me at that moment when I decided to give everything to him. And so I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor of this church, but this church loves people. And we love God. And we love his mission. And so this church can be your home. This church can be your home. These people can be your family. They are your family now. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, you just got a lot of people in your family. Your family just grew an immense amount. Amen? And if you pray that prayer for the very first time, you have just been adopted into the family of God. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. So we're going to celebrate this morning. Do you guys have a song that we can celebrate? One of those songs that we can go out of here just rejoicing in? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Awesome. Well, why don't we stand to our feet? And go this day and spend some time with your family and your friends over Easter dinner or lunch. And just go and exude the joy that you have that Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, you're alive for eternity. Amen? Amen. And for those of you who prayed that prayer for the first time, at some point while everyone's leaving and transitioning out, after the song, just go into the cafe and have some coffee with each other. If you would just make your way up here, and we've got a present for you. Amen? Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, guys.